This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are 40 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. So we need you to send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. If you want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time, Rocket can. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's toll free, of course. I just saw this news alert pop up from the Associated Press now that I've actually reset my Twitter password again. Don't you worry. I have written it down this time. And so as long as I have my handy dandy notebook with me, I will not forget my third Twitter password in the last week. So I do have access to breaking news now. And I just saw this for our friends in Alaska. A powerful 7.8 earthquake has struck the Alaskan Peninsula. And there is a tsunami warning that has been issued. 7.8 magnitude quake. It struck about, let's see what the time says, around 11:15 Pacific time. So that would be right after we started our show. So a couple hours ago. And this is fascinating to me, someone who's a total nerd. A depth of 6 miles, and it was centered 60 miles southeast of Perryville, Alaska, for those of you who listen to our Anchorage affiliate. And now there's a tsunami warning for the peninsula and the Aleutian Islands and South Alaska as well. And so for those of you who are there in that area and listening, please be safe. But a 7.8 magnitude earthquake is a powerful quake. And that just, that news alert just hit a few minutes ago, but this happened right after our show started. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. There are so many serious and unprecedented. Not that an earthquake is unprecedented, but any type of a natural disaster combined with the coronavirus pandemic, any type of regular challenge, the type that we would go through in real life, say the loss of a loved one or having to go to the doctor. All of these regular challenges that we face day to day become so much more complicated and so much more difficult when, you know, you're operating in the midst of a pandemic. Not to mention the economy and the number of people who are still out of work. So every time I read something like this, an earthquake in Alaska, it's, to me, triggers immediately, man, what are the challenges then when you consider a pandemic? You think about some of the other places in the world, not just the United States, places where maybe islands where they've had flooding, they've had torrential rains, in some cases, hurricanes, tornadoes, and it's so much more difficult now to reach out and offer help, offer assistance. And in those countries, very often they don't have the resources or the ability to get back on their feet themselves. And I know that's something that I've thought a lot about in the last few days, and certainly in the month of July, because the month of July is generally all about preparation for my trips to Cuba. And so this is the first time in 5 years that I have not spent at least a week in Havana in the summertime. There have been a couple occasions where I've spent longer than a week. And this would have been the week that I was in Cuba with a team from my church. And many of you ask me, how do we travel there? I'll just answer that question, since a lot of you find me on social media to ask me, how is it that you can go to Cuba? Well, we're not tourists. We're working in Cuba. We partner with a local church in a poor village outside Havana, and we put on a youth week, and we invite dozens of kids and teens. And sometimes the group size varies, but we have kids from the age of 9, 10, all the way up to about 25. And in some cases, they bring their parents, and so they'll participate as well. And so it's as many young people as we can cram into this one particular property, piece of property where the pastor has his home and his church. And there's a huge family that lives there. And then they also welcome in people from the village. And so it's a work trip. It's humanitarian. And if you didn't know this, the United States does have 13 different visas that are allowable for travel to Cuba. And among those are religious as well as humanitarian. And there's a new one that was created in 2019 called People to People. It's actually the name of the visa, People to People, where if you can show that your purpose in traveling to Cuba is to assist the Cuban people and not spend money as a tourist and, you know, feed into the communist government, well, the United States wants us to go and help the people. So that's the idea, is if you can go, you can take supplies. Maybe you're staying with a family, or you know people there, you're contributing to education or something like that. That's also allowable as a reason for traveling to Cuba. So there are many ways that you can get to Cuba, just not as a tourist and no longer on a cruise ship. But this would have been our fifth year going. And even back in the spring, early spring, when we were beginning to plan, I knew that it was going to be more difficult to get a larger team together. There were some people that were already concerned about traveling outside the United States. At this point, the pandemic wasn't raging. In fact, it wasn't even a pandemic. The coronavirus wasn't a huge deal in the United States. It was more international. And so there were no travel restrictions yet, except for China. But the initial recruiting process was difficult because there were people that were worried that didn't want to travel outside the United States. And I certainly understand that. I would have gone. I still would go, but the borders are closed in Cuba. Not that the communist government needs any reason to close its borders, but they do have a built-in reason in 2020. And so what I've been able to gather is that the food shortage is getting worse. So that's heartbreaking. They're supposed to be under quarantine, but because they don't have food really to last for longer than a couple of days, in many cases, the Cuban people are standing outside, sometimes camping out to wait for the markets to open. And when the markets do open, they're not sure what'll be available, and whatever is available is gone in minutes. Gosh, it reminds me, sadly, reminds me of something like a Duke basketball game where people will camp out for days, literally will put tents up and will camp out, and it's in order to buy basketball tickets. And I'm glad we have those fun opportunities in the United States, but this is something that's life and death. And so there's a food shortage, there's a fuel shortage, and because they've closed the borders, it's become even a more dire situation. And so this week I would have gone, and, you know, with a limited number of teammates, but we would have taken, you know, 100 pounds each of supplies. We would have taken food with us, rice and beans and whatever else we could pack into our bags. Last year I took peanut butter because some of them had never tried peanut butter for the first time. And so it's hard not to be there. It's hard not to be able to go and to make an impact. And so I'm doing my best to reach out to them. Their quarantine is being lifted. So thankfully the pandemic, well, it wasn't a pandemic in Cuba. The coronavirus really didn't spread much in Cuba, which is great, at least as much as they can tell, because their news is also limited. But their quarantine is being lifted now, and so they're allowed to get together in smaller groups. And so I've heard from some of the Cubans that I know and love, and they're telling me that they're able to get together now in smaller groups for church. So not the same size services, but they're doing two services, so they're breaking things up. And they're trying to do the same thing, wear masks when they can, keep their distance when they have the opportunity. But you know, if you ever traveled to third world country or really a country where the Hispanic culture is prevalent, a lot of them, they live all together in this like one big structure. So I wouldn't call it huge, but the pastor's home has two concrete apartments that are on top of his roof. And that's where his grown daughters, his married daughters live with their husbands and their two little girls. He has three daughters and four granddaughters. And so they all kind of live together in the same area. And then the villages are all crammed in too. You might have one apartment building that's got 10 stories and it's all open. Many of them don't have air conditioning. If they do, it's just in their bedrooms. And so they really do life together by necessity. You know, you've got bartering where one villager, and this happened last year, we walked into a kitchen, walked into a piece of property in a kitchen. There was a goat hanging out in the kitchen. And so they'll barter goat's milk for eggs or rice for eggs. And so they just all do life together, whatever they can do to stay alive, to survive. And so it's good that there was no real serious outbreak there, because it's almost impossible to limit their contact. They don't have the creature comforts of home like we do, many of us, and have the ability to isolate. They can't. They wouldn't survive if they isolated. They need one another to survive, literally to survive. And so I've heard from them. They're doing okay. The hard part is they're not allowed to have any American visitors or really European visitors right now either. And so it's been difficult to be even more isolated than they normally would. And so as I was talking about to start the hour, just the challenges that you normally face in an average year, or a typical year, the difficulties that life kind of throws at you, the curveballs that life throws at you, everything is more challenging when you have a pandemic and it's not easy to travel, or there are quarantine restrictions, or, you know, people are out of work, or you can't get the products and supplies that you need. The mail service, for those of you who work for the Postal Service, or for those of you who rely on the Postal Service, I keep hearing how overloaded the U.S. Postal Service is, where it's even difficult to mail something within our own borders, much less internationally. You know what's crazy, though? Before email, before virtual communication, obviously the Postal Service played a critical role. Now you've got Amazon, and they do use the Postal Service in some cases. You've got FedEx, you've got some of the other UPS shipping services. But I keep thinking, like, isn't this great for the Postal Service that they're overloaded? But I think they've made cutbacks in many cases, and they're just not prepared to handle what's happening. So I've bought stamps three times over the course of the spring to mail things, or I've gone to ship cookies and other things out for birthdays and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's not just the challenges of real life. And let's be honest, sometimes life is brutal. It can be really difficult just for the average human being. It's not all sunshine and roses. But to throw the pandemic in, I can understand why there's a bunch of doom and gloom, but I'll just be honest with you guys. Twitter's not as bad, but the responses on our Facebook page, I guess I was thinking naively, apparently, that many of you would have potentially changed your opinions, or you wouldn't be quite so negative Nelly and negative Ned, negative Nathan about the return of sports. But honestly, I think it's worse on our Facebook page. I think it's worse. I can't even read it. I know it's my Facebook page, or our show's Facebook page, and we asked you the question, but I can't even read it. It's so negative and so, in some cases, nasty. This is kind of funny. I don't know if I told Dave and Chris this. I changed the language settings on our Facebook page. Oh, it's fantastic. They're now the most stringent settings that you can have. And so if you use a swear word, it instantly gets edited out, or it gets hidden. The comment gets hidden. So if you're wondering where your comment went, it's because you used a word that was inappropriate according to Facebook's language protocols and according to your host, because I'm the one that set them there. I get tired of deleting comments that have swear words in them. So I changed the settings on the page, and that actually has stuck. Anyway, I don't want to read your posts. And I know I asked. I did. And I would have a conversation with you if you called. But social media is such a one-way conversation. You can't actually have an intelligent conversation over social media. Those are very rare, not only because of the limit, but of the number of characters, but also because it's impossible to read tone accurately in an email or on Twitter or on Facebook. And so, and then you have the time delay. I prefer to talk to you. If you want to talk to me, call up and tell me why you're so full of doom and gloom still, or why you don't believe sports should return. Let's have a conversation. But I can't. I cannot wade through your comments on Facebook. Yeah, I can't do it in the middle of a show. And I don't even think I want to do it anyway, because they're still so negative. I'm sorry, because I know we asked. And I would be willing to have a conversation with you on the phone so that I can understand where you're coming from. But it feels like many of you just want to bitch. Like there's nothing new. So let's beat the dead horse, which is such a terrible image. But I can't read them. So I know we're asking for your comments, and some of you are having conversations with other people on Facebook. I can't be there. I can't go with you down that rabbit hole, guys. I wouldn't say I'm over the moon excited, because 2020 has tempered my enthusiasm for many things. Not for my family, not for my friends, not for flowers, not for good meals. Ooh, I made a new shrimp orzo salad on Tuesday. It was really delicious. Not for the beach. So, I mean, I'm still finding simple joys in the pleasures of life and the blessings that God has given me. But I cannot live in doom and gloom. I can't. I would never get out of bed. I know me. I know how emotional I can get, and I just can't follow you down this rabbit hole. So even though my enthusiasm is tempered, I'm still excited about sports returning for a lot of reasons, not just the chance to watch it and talk about it, but also the chance to see so many people get back to work, those who keep score, those who ump or officiate, who serve as referees, those who are manning the door at the arenas, those who are running security, those who are cleaning the lodging where the athletes are staying, those who are running the hotels, taking tickets. We can't really do that now, but updating the websites and running the social media. There are so many jobs that are at stake. And so I'm really thrilled for those people who are getting back to work because sports are returning. And I have to remain excited about that, because it's better for my show. Nobody wants to listen to me bitch and moan and complain. Are you kidding? That would be a terrible radio show, though I know there are many out there. That's not my style. I can't sell it to you. I can't do that for longer than maybe 5 seconds. And so I'm sorry that so many of you are doomy and gloomy. I feel like you're Eeyore. Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Do you guys know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? And he's always got a droopy face. His ears droop, his tail droops. When his tail is actually on, sometimes his tail falls off, doesn't it? Or is that just like a kid's game where they pin the tail on Eeyore? I could have sworn there was something wrong with his tail. Doesn't his tail fall off?
I'm not sure. I don't know that it ever falls off. It droops.
It droops. The poor thing is he's droopy and sad all the time, and I just can't be Eeyore. I'm Tigger, peeps. I am Tigger. I don't know what Winnie the Pooh depiction you are. Pooh's kind of fun too, though. He's a little morose, but he's sweet. He's lovable. I'm Tigger. I'm typically a bottle of energy and like boom, boom, boom. Well, you know how I'm always bouncing around. And even if I'm not actually bouncing around on any given night, I'm still acting like it, because that's what I do for the radio show. So I'm more of a Tigger with boundless energy. And many of you are Eeyore, and it makes me sad for you. I'm sad for you if that's really the way you feel. Now, if you're just complaining and moaning because you have nothing better to do on social media, well, then I don't so much feel bad for you. But those of you who actually don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, those of you who actually don't see the positive steps that these sports leagues are taking in returning, those of you who don't realize what a major accomplishment it is for golf to remain operating now for the better part of 2 months, for NASCAR to be moving around, for some races to have fans in the stands, for the WNBA to tip off on Saturday, for baseball to return on Thursday. These are huge victories in our society. And I'm sorry that I can't communicate that well enough for you to be somewhat enthusiastic about it. Maybe that's a failing on my part, but I'm there. I'm beyond cautiously optimistic now. I'm there, and I'm excited, and I am ready. And we will cover it all when they return, as they return. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You all know where the Facebook page is. The reason I tell you is because we're 20 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. So make sure you send your last minute questions. We heard from Chill Anthony Davis, who thinks it's dope. And I'm with him. I think it's also dope. How about a little bit from the Major League Baseball world? We've got the starters for opening night, which is cool. We know that Jacob DeGrom, the two-time Cy Young Award winner in the NL, is ready to go. Christian Yelich talking about this unique offseason. So maybe a little bit of baseball audio to get you jazzed up. Maybe that'll work.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Oh, it's happening. Major League Baseball opening night is happening. In fact, come our final show of the work week, we'll be talking about the Yankees at the World Series champion Nationals. We'll be talking about Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer. We'll be talking about Giants and Dodgers. Yes, it will be Clayton Kershaw on the mound opening night against Johnny Cueto of the Niners of the Giants. I cannot wait. I'm really jazzed up about those first two games on the slate. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just a smattering of the reaction around the baseball world as they get closer to their own opening night or their own season openers. I liked this from Miles Michaelis, the pitcher for St. Louis. He was a guest on MLB Network Radio, and he was talking about just another way in which 2020 is a major aberration.
Funny because this is the one season where the coaches are going to tell you it's a sprint, not a marathon. And I think it's just going to make for some fun baseball. I mean, if you know, every team is trying to win every game of the season, I think that takes an even greater meaning now. Getting off to a hot start's important. Finishing strong is important. It's going to make every game important. It's going to be really exciting for us and for the fans.
That's really funny, right? Because what you normally hear is it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you have plenty of time. You have plenty of time to do a nosedive to the basement of your division, but then you have plenty of time to climb out of that, like the Nationals did a year ago. Remember that through 50 games, they were 12 games under 500. They were one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, and they ended up winning the World Series. Well, that's not possible this year because, as Miles says, it is a sprint, not a marathon, which is the complete opposite of what they've always been taught. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Lots of new managers. What did Scott Miller of Bleacher Report tell us last week? A third of the teams in Major League Baseball have new managers. And in some cases, those are brand new managers, first-time managers. In San Diego, they've got a new guy by the name of Jace Tingler. And as you can imagine, not only is he excited to get out there and manage for the first time ever in his life, but he's also looking at something that there's no blueprint for.
We've been inter-squadding, seeing each other, a lot of Browns, so you know, the red today, you know, from the Angels kind of popped. And, you know, it's been a while since we've been able to do that. So that part was that was good. And, you know, another day closer to Friday.
You know how often these guys say, I'm tired of seeing my own teammates? That used to happen to me, too, when we were doing preseason for college hoops. And what you're constantly doing is matching up and scrimmaging against people who already know your plays. So in the case of Major League Baseball, right, they already know your tendencies. The pitchers already know how to throw you the ball when you're in the batter's box, right? They don't need the tape because they know you really well. You're just tired of seeing your own people. You're ready to see someone that doesn't know your plays, that doesn't know your schemes, that doesn't know exactly how you operate. You just get tired of being around the same people. In fact, some cases irritated. You just want them to get away from you. And so, yeah, they're at that point now. And I know it's been a you know, a shorter summer camp. We're not talking about what they typically get in a full preseason in spring training, but they're ready. They're ready to see somebody in a different uniform. And so it's been kind of cool to watch these scrimmages on MLB Network or some of the various regional networks, because you're actually getting the two teams in the stadium and they're practicing. They're going through their walkthroughs. As for the Pittsburgh Pirates, did you hear they'll be sharing their stadium with the Toronto Blue Jays? That's the report out there. Can I just tell you, PNC Park is my favorite park in the majors. I love PNC Park, even though the one date I had there didn't go so well. Well, the date was fun, but afterwards it didn't work out so well. Anyway, so that's nothing to do with it. PNC Park rocks, and so the Pirates and Blue Jays will be giving that park some extra TV time. There's also a chance the Blue Jays could use Baltimore, Camden Yards in Baltimore, if they have to, if there are conflicts. Joe Musgrove, pitcher for the Pirates, they're all about getting ready now.
Yeah, so at the end of the season last year, I made an adjustment with arm action, really shortened up my arm swing in the back. And I learned a lot of it just watching guys like Trevor Bauer and Shane Bieber, some of those guys, just watching how fluid their arm action was and the consistency that they had on the spin and the life on the ball. So that was something I dialed in the last four starts of the year, but you know, there's a good part of me that didn't really understand what I was doing or why I was doing it. I just knew that it was making my stuff real sharp. And, I looked into it a little more, dove into more of the numbers this off season, adding Oscar into the group. He's got a good feel for just going out and competing and pitching. And then he's got the analytical side where he understands the numbers and knows how to translate that stuff to you.
Joe Musgrove will be the Pirates starter on Friday when the Pirates take on Jack Flaherty and the St. Louis Cardinals. That will be on the road, though, in St. Louis at Busch Stadium. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jacob deGrom, after a couple of days where he was feeling a neck impingement, the two-time reigning National League Cy Young Award winner will be on the mound come Friday night against the rival Braves from the NL East. And he's a little bit like Anthony Davis in that he's chill, but he's also excited about the chance to get out there and pitch to start the season.
It's an honor. It's awesome. To be out there for the first game.
It's dope.
And it's something that means a lot, and definitely something that I enjoyed doing, and hopefully get it this time.
It's actually not a night game. Forgive me for that. It is a 4:00 Eastern time start. It's a national TV game. And so it'll be the very first one that is on your tube come Friday. That's a 1:00 start Pacific time. Finally, just because we're excited doesn't mean we're ignoring the risks. There are risks. Like there are risks to everything in life, like there are risks of getting injured every time these guys do anything related to their jobs. And so, yes, there is the underlying risk of the pandemic. But again, I appreciate that these guys are willing to go forward. So many of them have decided it's worth it to them to play, even though, like Aaron Judge, they know that there are risks every single day.
Getting on a train, traveling to a different city. We've kind of been in our own little bubble here in New York, our own little bubble in Tampa. So I think kind of leaving that bubble is going to be a little difficult, but this is what we signed up for. We wouldn't have signed up for this if we weren't aware of the risk and what we had to kind of face, these next couple of months.
As much as possible, it matters that these guys are prepared. That's always the way that I face a scary situation, a situation in which there are a lot of variables and a lot of unknowns. You prepare as much as you possibly can. You arm yourself with information. And that's how I do it. I research, I read, I listen. I know as much as I can so that when I'm in a situation where there is uncertainty, at least I am prepared to make a decision in the clutch. And so I appreciate that these guys are willing to go out there and play. Thankfully, many of them are extremely low risk, and many of the athletes who have ended up testing positive for the virus are actually asymptomatic. But there's a danger in that, because if they're asymptomatic, they can pass it along without knowing it. But the testing is so critical. And I really appreciate how many of those athletes and coaches, especially those that are in bubbles or in facilities where they're tested almost every day, how often they say, I feel safer here than I think it feels like it would be in the greater population or greater society. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I, I'm not I feel plenty safe, even though I'm going to work and went to the beach and yada, yada, yada. But to know that you don't have the virus, to know that the people around you don't have the virus, there's an added layer of security there. Coming up next, Ask Amy Anything. It's your opportunity on The Hump Show every week. So send your last-minute questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Thank you so much for all your sweet words about my penners, my puppers. She had a tough couple days. It sucks to get old. I said that to her. It sucks to get old, but I also told her mama would pick her up and take her outside to go to the bathroom if that's what needed to happen. She's got her anti-inflammatories now, and so she is doing better. She's back to her old trotting self. We took a long walk, well, our longest walk in 3 days on Tuesday afternoon, and it's not something I could have known ahead of time, but I'm really glad that I was home with her because the poor thing, for long stretches of time, 12 hours, was laying in one spot on the floor. She couldn't get up. Her back legs were a little shaky, and she wouldn't put weight on her front paw. So she's doing much better now. She's had her anti-inflammatories for a day and a half, and you'd never know anything was wrong. That's my sweet girl. If you missed her latest picture, it's a really pretty picture of her in the backyard. It's up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on Facebook. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for your questions. Dave has got the latest and the greatest for Ask Amy Anything.
That I do, and there's plenty of ultimatums in here.
Which oh,
I,
no!
I know that you love.
Please so make me roll my eyes.
So we're going to start with one. I kind of like this one, though, from Robert.
Oh, no.
Which do you prefer?
Look at me. I'm looking at you through a crack in my fingers. I got my hand over my face.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let's give this a go. For a vacation, do you prefer saltwater, freshwater?
Saltwater. Ooh, that was easy. Good, let's go. I prefer the beach. I'm an ocean lover. I will take a lake, especially a large, clear lake, like, say, Newfound Lake or Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire, one of the great lakes, absolutely. But my favorite is the ocean. For me, that is my happy place, which is why Sunday was so great to be at the beach, even with 10,000 of my not-so-close friends.
It's good to have friends. Javier has a sports question, but I like this one as well.
Okay.
Which athletes or athlete has had the best personality of someone that you've ever interviewed?
Oh, gosh. There's so many great personalities out there. Shoot. I mean, how am I supposed to like, name a couple? You know who we really liked? Oh, no. This is terrible. I'm drawing a blank. Okay. Gross Matos. Yator Gross Matos, yes, from Penn State, who got drafted. He was great. I just am thinking of him, who was with us on Radio Row in Miami. Oh my gosh, this is not fair. It's one of those ones there are so many that I really will have a hard time. You know who was great? Dennis Pitta recently had a fantastic personality that we talked to. A lot of the offensive linemen that we talked to are amazing. We've had some really great interviews over the course of the spring. My gosh, I could go on and on. That's really not a fair question. Dallas Braden, the first time I ever talked to him, was a great interview. Of course, he'd just come off his perfect game on Mother's Day, so he was fun. He was really emotional. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. That's a totally lame-o, but there are so many. I really have found that if you take the time to get to know an athlete a little bit, so, you know, maybe at the beginning, ask them a couple of personal questions, most of them have just wonderful personalities. Offensive linemen are definitely my favorite, though. And we've had some great... Oh, you know, DeMario Davis, too, was a great interview earlier this year. I'm sorry, that was lame-o. But offensive linemen would be my go-to.
I'm a big fan of the offensive linemen.
Yeah, no, they're great talkers. And they feel like they never get enough opportunity to speak. And so when they do have the chance to do interviews, they kill them. Kill them.
Let's go to an easier question. Brad wants to know...
If I were a better host, maybe.
No. Brad wants to know what your favorite comfort foods are.
Well, for sure, anything to do with, like, berries right now, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries. I'm a big fan of berries in the summertime, and they're a bit of a go-to. I have a fresh peach with me right now, too, so really any fresh fruit this time of the year. Of course, I love my lime chips, my hint of lime chips from Tostitos, but I also really like hint of jalapeno. You know, my family got me turned on to those. They have not been in the stores lately, at least not the stores where I shop. I haven't seen them, so I've been sticking to the hint of lime. I love chili. I saw that Adam, who's listening to the show, found us on Twitter and asked about my favorite chili recipe. That's on my blog. But I love chili with as much as I can possibly cram into it. So meat and beans and onions and garlic and corn and peppers. A lot of time I put bell peppers in. Someone suggested radishes to me recently. I've never tried that. I put squash in my chili before. That's really good, too. I've never tried radishes, but I do have radishes at home, so that will be my next thing. What else? Ice cream. I just had some ice cream with chocolate chips on Saturday after doing all that crazy yard work. And so ice cream's definitely a comfort food, as much as I shouldn't be eating it on a regular basis.
So let's stick with the foods. This is an ultimatum as well. The listeners love ultimatums. And let's go with Mark. He wants to know M&Ms or Skittles.
M&Ms. I'm a chocolate freak. And plus, the world is apparently going through a bit of we'll be facing a cocoa shortage in about 4 years. So I'm just telling you, eat the chocolate now, because pretty soon you won't have it. Did I say coffee is a comfort food? Iced coffee, also a comfort food.
I think coffee is just part of every day. Every meal, every day. So let's get our last sports question out of the way. Dawn wants to know, what sport, in your opinion, has the best chance of finishing without any problems, without a hitch?
It's a good question. I would say basketball, if I had to pick one, because of the bubble. The bubble right now is working extremely well. As they've gone through the now subsequent rounds of testing, no one's testing positive because they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're in the bubble. It's the controlled environment that I really like. Aaron Judge mentioned the travel. Yes, there's always that possibility. The NFL, they're not sequestered. It's impossible to do an NFL season in a bubble. So I would say the NBA, along with the NHL. Do you know they've had initial rounds of testing? Everybody's coming back negative. And that's the point. If you are in a bubble, a controlled environment, and no one has the virus, no one can pass it to you. You can't get it. So you don't need to worry about social distancing or wearing a mask, though some of them are. Those protocols are not nearly as important if no one has the virus. And I would feel so comfortable doing that. Hell yes, put me in a controlled environment where nobody's going in or out except for people that we know do not have the virus. I think that's amazing. And I applaud these leagues for the money. It takes money. $150 million by the NBA to create this bubble. But now that they're in it, it's working. So let's give them credit for that. So I think the NFL will go forward because of the money they have to throw at the problem. But if you made me pick one, I would say basketball.
Regular season and postseason, Dave, agree.
Okay. AD, our chill AD, regular season. And wait, you would be DE.
That's true.
Regular season DE.
Let's do that. So Jeffrey, I like this question from Jeffrey. He says, do you have any consideration in writing a book?
Oh yes, absolutely I do. And I kind of go back and forth between writing a book on dating, which sucks as an adult female, especially one who works in my business. But I think that's been done a lot. A lot of people have written books about how difficult dating is, the challenges of dating. I might do a blog post, though, about the proposals that I get on social media. That'd be kind of funny. But honestly, I think just my experience as a female in this industry, people ask me about it all the time, not just why are you in this business? What made you want to get into this business? But also, how did you stick with it? And it's funny because I don't often take time to measure the years. But coming up, January 1st of 2021 will be 19 years since I've been in full-time sports radio, since that's been my full-time job, my full-time gig. And it's like, whoa, nearly two decades have passed and the stories that I could tell. And when we do these stories every week on Ask Amy Anything, people really seem to enjoy them. And so, yeah, I think at some point I could write a book about my experience, but it's not time yet. I would need to be retired and have the time to do it, but also I think perspective. I couldn't do it from inside the business. I would need to step away and really recognize not just the impact, but also, you know, the kind of the full spectrum of everything that I've been through in this business. I hope to do 20 more years of it. So
if you could write a fictional book, this is a question of mine. Mm-hmm. Fictional book, what would you
write about? A murder mystery. I suppose I could use a sports setting because that's what I know well, but I love murder mysteries. The problem is I'm not nearly as talented as some of the authors I read, but yes, I love murder mysteries. That's my favorite genre to read fiction.
Let's move to a genre of movies. Charles wants to know if you could watch any movie in the IMAX theater setting. What would that movie be?
Do you know one I was really looking forward to? And I just thought about this actually on Tuesday. The movie, the follow-up to Top Gun, the one, I forgot the name of it, please forgive me. But remember we interviewed the two pilots on Radio Row in Miami. And it was really their first big feature roles. And I remember speaking to the female pilot. This is on our YouTube channel, by the way, if you want to go back and to listen to that interview. She was just talking about how committed Tom Cruise was to making a strong female pilot role, a strong female pilot character. But also we talked about the training they had to go through. They actually had to learn how to fly. And so I was so jazzed up about seeing the follow-up to Top Gun because that was an iconic movie for me when I was a kid. And so I am bummed that one's not coming out. But that is the one I most want to see in IMAX because I think the special effects and being in the cockpit, the perspective of being in the cockpit when they fly is going to be amazing. So I will go see that follow-up to Top Gun for sure in IMAX.
That one's called Top Gun Maverick.
That's right.
Yeah, amazing. It's a shame. I would have looked forward to watching that movie as well.
Yeah, so it was supposed to come out this summer.
Yes. So last question real quick. We know you've talked about putting puzzles together.
Yes.
What's the biggest puzzle you've ever put together? How many pieces was it?
2,000. I just did it this spring and it was hard. There were so many red and yellow flowers that at the end it took forever just to get through the final corner. It was really cool. It was essentially a greenhouse of sorts with a ton of flowers, some in pots, some hanging. It had all kinds of tools, so gardening tools, and I'm really into the gardening and the flowers right now, so it appealed to me. My niece bought it for me for Christmas and she laughed when I opened it because it was 2,000 pieces and she thought it would be a big challenge for me. So I told her that I would keep track of how long it took me. 5 weeks, but I only worked on it Friday night, Saturday, and some on Sunday. So during the pandemic, that was the major accomplishment. A 2,000-piece puzzle, and I put every single piece together myself, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great mental break. It was really a lot of fun to do, spread out on it took up my entire dining room table.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.